Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Workday.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Jared Serbu. The Department of the Interior is a big, complex organization, nearly a dozen different bureaus, and in some cases with very different missions. But there are a lot of reasons to try to gain a better understanding of that large, diverse workforce. The Interior Department is working to unlock data across all of those bureaus to take a more strategic approach to human capital management. To talk about how that's working, we are very glad to welcome Robin Reese. She's the Director for Strategic Human Capital Initiatives at Interior. Okay, so Ms. Reese, broadest possible opening question here. Just talk with us a bit about how the department is using data for human capital decisions, how you think about the role of data in the whole human capital space.
I would say broadly, human capital data is really central to making much of our decisions because we have 70,000 employees across 2,400 operating locations. And understanding that workforce composition, the types of jobs they do, where they're located geographically, what we're seeing in terms of bringing people in, keeping them happy, watching people leave. I mean, it informs so much of what we do in order to meet the missions of the public. I should also say that at the department, we have employees in almost every one of the jobs that is in the Office of Personnel Management occupation books. There are about 350 occupations in the federal government, and we employ people in about 350 jobs across the Department of the Interior. So it's quite a large array of types of positions and skills that are required to carry out the missions.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things that struck me as I was thinking about preparing for our discussion here today. Enormously diverse mission set across this department, right? I think 11 different bureaus, all with different functions and different missions, plus all that geographic diversity that you just talked about. So at the department level, when you're thinking about trying to serve all of these diverse needs, how do you think about the vast quantities of data that you must have available to you and how to make it useful for all those diverse mission sets?
Yeah, I think this is an important part of the conversation here. I think that, like you said, the department has 11 bureaus and a number of offices. And in many ways, the bureaus are able to do their own human capital data analytics and analytics on other things as well. What they're not able to do for themselves is to look across their peer bureaus or component offices and benchmark against each other. That is the unique value proposition that the department can provide to our components. And so our focus really has been on what I'll say, I think, is a common way of talking about unlocking human capital data, opening up that data at the enterprise level where we have access to the system, so that we can be looking, how does one bureau compare to the other when we're looking at potentially the same occupation, but retention or hiring new folks, for example. I think that's been in my experience over the last couple of years where we've differentiated ourselves and are starting to add value to the bureaus beyond what they can do for themselves. You know, in the past, about a year ago, our human capital leaders, our Chico, all the human capital leaders across the bureaus, came together and decided together that one of our common priorities was going to be human capital data analytics. And so we really have been working aggressively to get access to the data we have, whatever quality it is, show it, let's make it better, right? And then provide out whatever sets of analyses and visualizations that could do one of a number of things. Either A, reduce the burden to the bureaus for manual data calls that have to come up through the department and to other agencies. B, enable those bureaus to benchmark against their peers. Oftentimes we'll see like federal government benchmarking small agencies versus small agencies, large agencies versus large agencies. Within the department, we like to know how our friends are doing because maybe we can leverage some best practices they have. That's an opportunity space we now have because we can look at this data across the different bureaus and mission spaces. And then third, what we're really trying to do is position ourselves to more effectively and in a more matured posture, be able to advance our collective efforts to strategically align and support the priorities of the department because the missions don't get done without people. And so we really need to know what's working, what's not working, where we have opportunity space, where maybe we don't, so that we don't waste energy over there, and make sure that when we deploy our resources and pick our plans and priorities, we're picking the right ones that are going to have the most greatest effects toward the outcomes we're pursuing.
When you talk about unlocking the human capital data, I just want to make sure I'm adequately understanding the challenge there. Is it just the usual thing that we see across many federal agencies that the systems are stovepiped and were not originally designed for sharing, and you just got to overcome that?
That's definitely part of it. I think part of it is understanding that there is no such thing as one system for human capital data. I mean, we will always and probably should always. I come from an IT background. I grew up in the information technology field, and I came from the National Science Foundation's IT group over to Department of the Interior a handful of years ago. But I think there's a feeling of one system that we want our customers to have. But that feeling of one system comes with interconnections between multiple systems. So part of unlocking human capital data is understanding that the data is in various systems and being able to access it and bring light to that data is one part of it. And so where in the absence of an integration of the system, for example, there are other technical ways we can join that data and do something with it, right? There are other architectures that we can employ in order to bring data to the middle and do things with it. And that's part of what we're doing to unlock the data. We're bringing data to the middle from different systems, joining it, and then showing a more full picture, right? The other part of unlocking human capital data is having the business language and the understanding of the human capital business process in order to do the analysis and find out what's happening. What strategies are you employing that may or may not be effective as we look at this data and the story that it tells? And I think that can be translated, honestly, to any function. You can only go so far with pulling the data together and creating the visualization. You must have the language and the ability to interact with the subject matter experts in order to truly unlock what that means in terms of strategizing and using evidence to triangulate a decision space.
And what is that skill set that can do that, that can look at that data and, as you said, talk back to the people who could actually use it? Is that a data science focus? What types of people do this?
So I think when I think about how this works best, we have a team that's working on it. There's no one type of person that can do this. You do need your data scientist or your analytics person who can access the data and work it, right? You also need somebody from the IT side who maybe understands where the system comes from and can help you get access to that data. Then you need a subject matter expert and a different subject matter expert for each little phase, depending on what topic you're working on. And then finally, there's that, to me, a facilitator that brings that all together that can maybe speak across functional languages, understands a little bit of the data, understands a little bit of the business process, and help those people talk to each other. So the best in breed way, I believe, of putting together data analytics capabilities for an organization is having a mechanism to bring those matrix teams together so that no one person is trying to just do an analysis and pump it out, and then it has no value on the other end.
How far along would you say you are in the whole unlocking the data project and presenting it as an enterprise in a way that you can use as an enterprise? Tell us about some success stories that you may have had so far.
Yeah, I'll say that I'm my own toughest critic, as we all are. And so my first answer to that is, I think we're early in our journey and we have a long way to go to truly unlocking the data, because the vision is large, right? It's probably a decades long journey, if not more. That said, if I truly reflect on where we were and how far we've come, I think in just a few short years, 2 years or so, we've really established ourselves in the Office of Human Capital as an organization that can develop enterprise-wide visualizations. We can crowdsource the feedback for those visualizations, like I said, through subject matter experts in the same virtual space with the data folks building and deploying visualizations. And I think we have a pretty robust capability. We have a number of visualizations that already support common things we look at in our workforce data, you know, new hires, retention, separation, exit data. We're always looking at FEBS, and we have capabilities around the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. We're pretty proud of what we've accomplished there. And then in some cases, we've even gone a little beyond the typical, right? So I'm not an HR practitioner by trade. I'm a business person, and I grew up in IT. And I came over to human capital because there's a lot of need for IT and human capital. We need to really, truly understand the work, and we can't just sit from our ivory tower and try to deploy it into the human capital space. And I think that when I think about the work that we've done to bring to bear data in this space, I think we actually have made quite a lot of strides. But I say that I'm not a HR practitioner to say that when we talk about workforce planning or succession planning or skills development, we are often thinking about common nomenclature like career pathways or career ladders. We hear these words a lot in the federal government, where if we likened that to private sector, we think about starting out in finance and becoming a chief financial officer someday, right? You work yourself through that pathway or the ladder. And one of the things that we did with our human capital data is we tried to look for common pathways that were not career pathways. So what I mean by that is within the department at the enterprise level, I have data on where our employees are going. I know if they're working for one bureau 1 year, a different bureau the next year, a different program the next year. And we can see where they're moving between jobs, occupational series, or even in between occupational families. So maybe from IT to finance, or from environmental protection to policy, right? These are things that I don't think are as commonly thought of as career progression and development type pathways, but they're happening. And so what can I learn about our actual employee movement to uncover opportunities for our workforce to move and grow in different places? And on our, we have a website we call My DOI Career, careers.doi.gov is how you get to it. And on each of the occupation pages, we show the common pathways, quote unquote. And it will show you that most people who are a park ranger started out as a park guide, for example, or most people who are economists at the department were previously this other occupational series at the department. Just to give people an idea of what kinds of opportunities there are. Once you enter, you don't have to stay on that path. You can jump around to different paths. So that was a long way of saying there are lots of traditional ways of looking at human capital data and leveraging it for strategic decision making. And I think we've done a really good job on the traditional ways, and that we're trying to embark on the less traditional kind of uses of data to get to know our workforce better or to know the opportunity space.
Talking with Robin Reese, the Director for Strategic Human Capital Initiatives at the Department of the Interior. We'll come back and talk more about how Interior is using data to understand its workforce after a short break. This is Federal Insights on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I'm Jared Serbu.
When a warrior faces adversity, he fights through it. He finds a way. Freedom isn't free. Rolling strong. Belief. Believe you can and you will.
Wheelchairs for Warriors provides mobility solutions to veterans and first responders injured in the line of duty. Join the mission and visit wheelchairsforwarriors.org.
Back on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. This is Federal Insights. I'm Jared Serbu. And we're talking with Robin Reese, the Director for Strategic Human Capital Initiatives at the Department of the Interior, about how Interior is using data to understand its workforce. So really a two-part follow-up on the career pathways issue. How many of those sort of unofficial, unrecognized pathways have you been able to uncover? And then once you do uncover them, what can you actually do with that information?
Yeah, so untold number. I can't specify the number for you that we found. I'll say that on our careers website, we have about 100 occupations. And on each page, it'll tell you the common pathways, where people came from to get there. And in each of those cases, any number of pathways, you'll see. But you'll see them based on the proportion. What's the most common one of those uncommon pathways versus something less common, but also did happen. The second part about what we can do with that is we can, for example, engage in dialogue with our employees. So as supervisors with our employees, I take very seriously my responsibility to engage with them about their individual development plans and where they want to go versus maybe where I need them to go, and then support their career journey. If I can see these uncommon pathways or common pathways instead of career pathways, I have a better conversation space to engage in with my employees as we think about their individual development plan. So that's one of the ways that we can and do use that kind of information, is helping them think about where their skills or their competencies might be transferable to other occupations, and then getting them on a path where the rubber meets the road really is in those technical skills that they need. So many of the skills or strengths they have are transferable. How can we then help them get some experience through detail or rotational assignments to get the more technical competencies they need in order to be really competitive for the next job they want? So that's one very real example of how, when we're engaging in performance management with our employees, we have a more robust conversation because we know a little bit more.
I want to lean on your IT background a little bit and just ask you, what have you seen in terms of the emergence of tools that let you look at data and visualize it and make sense of it and make use of it? Is there an increasing number of things that are actually useful that you can just grab off the shelf and plug your data into, or are you having to engineer a lot of your own?
You know, I think there are the basic data visualization tools where you put your own data in it and then you can put it in the visualizations that you need is honestly the thing that we use the most. We need the tool that will allow us to more quickly join, analyze, and visualize the data. But in terms of plugging our data into a tool that then knows what we need and visualizes it for us, I think that's an open opportunity space I haven't seen a solution for just yet. I think it is often underestimated how complex federal government data is. And also, we have a long way to go in terms of data quality and also in terms of machine readability of data. So often when I think about procuring a product that could help me, I have to think about that a couple of years ahead of time. And I have to start on data acquisition and cleanup just so that I can get ready for that product. In the meantime, I can get by with visualization tools that allow me to cleanse and curate my data and make meaning of it now. So we're on a parallel path, but I haven't seen the utopian system do everything I need yet.
How have you been doing on the data cleanup front? I mean, can you share with us some examples of, you know, this really can be done, even though it's hard?
It is hard. You know, I'll say the hardest thing is that the folks that clean up the data are the folks that are trying to hire and acquire and retain our critical human capital to carry out our missions. And there's really only so much we can ask them to do. So with respect to data cleanup, we have to prioritize, right? And usually it's the thing that's next on our plate gets the attention, and we clean up that piece. And then we jump to the next one. And so I mentioned that we as a human capital leadership team across the department agreed on a human capital data analytics as a priority. But also the underlying need there is that someday we want to get to a place of automation and intelligence. And we know we can't get to that place unless we prioritize data quality, cleansing, and integrations that allow for those automation and intelligent tools to come to bear. So that's more of the, we're on the beginning of the journey and we go one data element at a time. So as a recent example, you know, when we're thinking about advancing diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility for our workforce, we want to know who we have. We want to know how they feel about the work that they do here. We want to know if they're leaving or not. And we can do that to the extent that our workforce provides us data on their disability status or veteran status or gender. And if they don't, then there's really nothing we can do, right? So when those things become a priority, then we can tackle it one at a time and we go on our data acquisition and cleanup journey where we start over communicating to the workforce about the importance of self-identifying so that when we make strategic decisions, we can meet them where they need us to meet them. That then turns into getting new data that goes into the systems that allows us to mature and refresh our visualizations that we then make strategic decisions.
Down to our last couple of minutes here, but I'm curious about one thing, which is one thing we've heard from other agencies who are working on similar projects is that one of the biggest things you need to really make data work well for you is to have buy-in and an understanding of the importance and the power at a couple different levels, senior leadership, and then also line supervisors. I wonder if you think that's right and if you've seen that at Interior.
100%. It is right, and I have seen it here. So we can talk about data quality all day, But it doesn't matter until you show it to the leadership and it either makes sense or it doesn't make sense, right? And when you're pro, I think it's our job to continue to try to ask and answer questions with data. And we'll ask questions and we might not be able to answer them all. But in the pursuit of trying to answer the questions through robust data analytics, we can get attention from leadership that then also gets attention from supervisors, managers, human capital professionals who understand that if that data is going to be leveraged for decision making, it should probably be good data. Right. So we all end up having equities in it, but it takes that priority initiative and that visibility and quite frankly, just showing people what's not good about the data in order to get action on cleaning it up. And I've seen that be highly effective and successful where folks ask a question, we try to answer it. That doesn't look like what they expected to see. We tell them about the lack of data quality. They go clean it up. We're in a better place. Leadership cares. You get attention. So I 100% agree with those folks who say that it really does take leadership support. And it also takes down through the organization, folks understanding the importance of that and what it means in terms of decisions that they may or may not like as a result of how good the data is or not.
Let me end with another open-ended question. What excites you about the future and what you can do with data as you continue this unlocking journey?
I think the thing that excites me the most about the future is thinking about how much better the lives of our professionals could be if they had the time freed up from the monotony data cleansing, curation, and analysis, and we're just able to, I imagine this place where just like Siri, we have a Siri in the federal government where you ask and answer a question and you move on and you go and make and get into the strategic space that humans can uniquely do. So I do believe we can get there. And I think that we can chip away at finding ways to make the lives of the people who carry out the missions of the government a little bit easier every day by simply focusing on helping them be more capable of quickly getting answers to their questions so that they can keep moving. So there are a few things that I could say about how proud we are about our fens. I think that one of the ways that we leverage data is just understanding the sentiment of our employees. And we're super proud that in this last Fed cycle, 2023, we had a positive response rate that was 17 points higher than the prior year. So we really truly use that data to understand how our employees feel and how to better strategize about making their lives better so that they can engage more productively and fully in our mission. So we're pretty proud about that. And I also just generally, when we go back to the conversation about democratizing access to data, I think our journey is to make sure that more people can access that data, that they then build a baseline understanding of the business, that they can build muscle in analytical thinking because now they're looking and they're asking more questions. And ultimately, we want to get them to a place where their decisions are based on evidence to the greatest extent practical. And that's the journey that we're on, the journey that we'll continue being on. I know as leaders of the department, we care a lot about evidence-based decision-making, and it truly is a collective effort. It has to have IT folks, business folks, data folks, leaders at the table in order to keep that journey strong and moving forward.
We've been talking with Robin Reese, the Director for Strategic Human Capital Initiatives at the Department of the Interior. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can hear the full thing on our website anytime. Just go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. Thanks for listening. I'm Jared Serbin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Workday on Federal News Network.